The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, Long Island, and welcome to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas. I'm so glad that you can join us this morning as we share and explore all relevant issues related to autism spectrum disorder. My guests this morning are David Schell and Tracy Savoir. David is Talent Development Coordinator for Developmental Disabilities Institute's Children's Residential Program. Tracy is DDI's Technology Specialist. Both gentlemen are invaluable players in what might be described as a revolutionary new approach towards fostering independence through technology. We will be exploring how DDI is equipping students to participate in a fully immersive virtual learning environment and the significant promise that future models hold for even greater advances. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. I can feel your passion for this work, work already. So maybe we could start by bringing me and our listeners up to speed. What's going on?
So, I mean, we have been working very diligently on this Akiva virtual reality, really, just to really bring it forth to the CRP and to DDI as a whole, as an agency right now. Just kind of going off of what we've kind of looked at, various different aspects of the actual virtual reality, different rooms and different programs, and also different sceneries for some of the individuals. We have worked on a few things and we meet with them regularly regarding Akiva, and it's been a great, great thing so far for the individuals.
Well, guys, what is Akiva? What is that? Because that's going to be a new word for a lot of us.
Yeah, it's funny, Mike, because like you said, we foster independence for our students through technology. And Akiva does just that. They are a virtual reality company that specializes in our population. It's all hands-free with the Oculus headset. It puts the students or adults in different learning environments that allows our population to, learn activities of daily living, letters, numbers, colors, days of the year or days of the week, months, anything that has to do with education. And it's been pretty great to watch our students here in the CRP get to use the Akiva software. It's been pretty amazing.
It sounds really cool. And in fact, even before we got this opportunity to meet today, I was kind of looking online to see what this might look like. And what I saw was it was really cool. You could tell me if this is what the kids are being exposed to. I mean, vivid colors, characters that kind of look like a cross between, animation-y guys. I mean, what I saw looked really like it could be a lot of fun. So it seemed to me like it would be learning with a lot of fun attached to it.
Yes, and that's exactly what we want to do, just like you said, Mike, along with the colors and the different kind of animated characters that are utilized in it, we're setting them up for success. Just knowing a lot about our individuals here, we kind of developed that to, again, force that independence and to aim more towards success with them with the Akiva.
So I guess you guys have experience the software or you've done this. So what is it like? I've never done this. So what does it look like? Take me through the beginning. How do you get on? What's the first stuff you see? What are the kids? What is this like?
Yeah. So when you turn on the Oculus headset and you start up the Akiva software, you're immediately immersed into their virtual world. You do see all the vibrant colors and you get to see the characters and the students or adults. They also get the choice of picking what they want to engage in for that session. Whether they want to learn letters of the alphabet or colors or, even emotions, things of that nature, they can select which module they want to take on, or if, you know, if they're not, let's say, too fond with making their own selections, you know, David, myself, and some other members of our team, we get to, you know, give it a shot and see, you know, what the students may enjoy, or adults. So, you know, we might pick the module for them. And then immediately, like I said, you're immersed into this world where it could be a classroom, it could be a playground setting, it could be a pirate ship. And, you know, the characters are all interactive, and there's cues for certain things for our guys to do. Let's say give high fives or pop bubbles on the screen, or even use the virtual tablet that's integrated into their software, where they can select letters, or they can even trace the outlines of letters or match different things on the tablet. And it's all hands-free. No remotes or external devices needed on their hands. The only piece of hardware that goes with the Akiva software is the actual Oculus headset that fits around, you know, our guys' heads. So it's pretty amazing that it's hands-free. That's a great feature. So, you know, once they're in this world, you know, you get to look around in a full 360 view, and, you know, everything is interactive, and, you know, those characters, you know, they're given the cues and, you know, given tasks for our guys. And, you know, they've been amazing in completing these tasks and progressing through these modules. So.
I bet. And now, as I listen to you guys, I can see why the hands-free piece would be very, very helpful, more than helpful, actually. But how do you, let me understand, how do you interact? Because I'm just used to typing everything I'm thinking. How do you stay hands-free? How do you interact with the program and the experience? How do you guide it?
So that's just the advancement of technology itself. You know, the Oculus headset has sensors where it can pick up hands-free movement. And, you know, the Akiva engineering team has been so great in developing their software. So, you know, everything seems to work very fluent, you know, and it picks up all hand movements and, you know, anywhere your hand is, or, you know, any kind of gesture, or, you know, way that you want to position your hands, you know, it picks it right up, and, you know, you're able to maneuver through the software.
And this is a little different from a lot of other virtual reality Oculus headsets that we here at DDI have either used in the past, or even on my own, you know, for myself, have used in the past, where you need an actual handheld something for the actual headset, where this here, it is all hands-free, which is honestly really great for our population.
It sounds great. You know, I was thinking, David, Trisha, I was thinking too, you know, it's an immersive experience. So kids putting the Oculus on, and for some time, I guess, they're in some ways like they're in their own little world, I think. But how do you, or can you guide the student during the experience, or is that like impossible? What does that look like?
Yeah, so we are actually able to guide our students through the software use. So the Akiva team has developed a system where the Oculus headset can pair to a mobile device, an iPad, an Android device, an iPhone. And we can actually set up what our guys are going to do, the modules that they're going to do through that smart device. And we're also able to see in real time what our guys are seeing in the headset. So we're able to prompt them along if they need that extra little push, or able to see how great they're doing just by looking at our mobile devices. So
that is so cool. So even though it's immersive, they're not really necessarily off by themselves, where they can't really experience, you know, being taught and as you guys are saying, and guided. It's really cool.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you, before we go to a break, I'd like to know a little bit about how you choose, if you do choose, the kids who are best suited to do this. I mean, is there certain criteria, or is there certain students who are more likely, or can this be adapted to, you know, people who are working at different levels and have different different educational or learning styles? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so the great thing about being a technology specialist, and this is why I tell everybody this is the best job in the world, I get to work with these students here in the CRP, and honestly, every day they teach me something new. There's no expectations that I have when it comes to the students, you know, whether their cognitive ability may hinder what they can do with technology. You know, I kind of threw all those thoughts out the window my first week working in this role, because these students are capable of everything in the world. So, you know, there isn't a specific criteria when it comes to choosing the students. And we actually expand out of our initial pilot group of the 10 students that we did pick from each residency on the CRP. You know, so I get to test out the software with just about everybody now. And, you know, the students that can tolerate the headset, they love the software. Of course, there may be some situations where, you know, students don't like the feeling of the headset, or, you know, they're not used to it, they're not comfortable. But for anyone that does not mind the headset being, you know, attached to their head, essentially, for that 10, 15 minutes, you know, they absolutely love the software. So
I bet, and I really appreciate the way you frame it, that you really kind of put any kind of preconceived notions about who it would be right for or wrong for on the slide, so that you go at it with a completely open mind and with all sorts of possibility. You know, let's hold that thought. We're about to go go to a break. You're listening to DDI and Autism on 103.9 FM, immersing in virtual reality. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Long Island. You're listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to the Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, continuing my conversation with David Schell and Tracy Savoir, and the subject has been immersive virtual learning and the impact of this approach on kids, in this case, with autism. And guys, when we just left off, you were explaining to me a little bit about some of the advantages and some of the experience itself. And I was saying in the brief break, I'd like to know, I think our listeners would like to know about what considerations came into play when you chose this particular approach, this software. I imagine there were competitors, and I know you guys had our population in mind first and foremost. So what were you thinking about? You know, how'd you gravitate towards this?
It's funny. So, you know, early on after I, you know, assumed the role of the technology specialist, I would meet with Garrett Peterson, who was the adult residential technology specialist. And, you know, I would brainstorm with Garrett a lot about things and, you know, just different ways that I can shape my role here in the CRP. And Garrett, he actually showed me a bunch of virtual reality companies that he was thinking about, you know, reaching out to, seeing if we can get a trial of their software and so on. And not too long after Garrett and I had that sit down, Brian, you know, who is our director here in the CRP, had shot me an email, and it was actually Akiva reaching out to him. So I guess Akiva did their research on DDI, and they reached out looking to see if they can meet with us. And, you know, Brian, he forwarded me the email and he told me to, you know, just look into the company if I want to and see what they have to offer. And, you know, I did my research on Akiva Metaverse, and, you know, I figured that they might have something that, you know, they can offer us. And, you know, I reached out and we were able to put together our first Zoom meeting. And, you know, it's been, we're here now. So.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I'm guessing, guys, that they did some, you know, certainly they did some demonstrations during these meetings. And did you have special criteria, any criteria in mind when you looked at this that would make it particularly useful for kids on the spectrum? Was right. So, you know, you're looking at this, and I'm sure with your backgrounds too, and our emphasis as an agency, as an organization, what parts of the software or this phenomenon, if you'll come up, we can call it that, seemed right for our guys?
I think a lot of it, you know, we have to take a lot of things into consideration for our individuals, cognitive processing, behavioral concerns as well, right? And what Akiva was offering us at that point in time, we felt would be really beneficial for our individuals. You know, the fact that we can kind of mold and shape our own world, verbiage as well. And we would really shape it like, you know, like we stated earlier, more for our individual success, right? And also to foster that independence. one of the great things about Akiva is that the CEO of Akiva, or one of the CEOs of Akiva, actually has a son of his own diagnosed with autism. So he was very immersed in the field as well. And that was one of the bigger things about him developing this Akiva software, you know, for his son and also for the world of autism in general. So that was really one of our bigger parts with this, is that, you know, he already knew so much about the population and cares so much about the population, you know, him being, you know, a parent, you know, that was in this as well. And that was really what made our decision. And to be honest, you know, we're here right now because this has been a great experience for us so far.
You know, I bet guys, and what you just said resonates with me. I know that when I'm seeking, you know, resources, especially here, if somebody has a personal connection, as you're describing, to the issue, that's a tremendous incentive to kind of, and helps to kind of get it right, if you know what I mean. I know you do. I was thinking too, like when I was looking at it a little bit, and this kind of circles back to what I think you were saying a little about, you know, the possibility being very broad, even around teaching emotions as well as other necessary understandings to get into society. But what I was thinking, because I saw that even some of the characters, you know, how the expression was very, very useful. Once we get beyond the fun and those fundamentals, is there also the possibility for kind of creating environments that replicate other environments that the kids will be exposed to? I know you guys have been involved in dental desensitization and perhaps some early career training. I know they're just kids, but does it have implications around those possibilities too?
Yes, absolutely. And that is something that we were speaking about more recently, was creating kind of these worlds that simulated certain scenarios. So one of our bigger things here at DDI and with this population in general is that we do a lot of desensitization programs. You know, we just want to be able to desensitize some of our individuals to certain things that they're going to have to do in general, going to the dentist, going to the doctor, receiving shots, getting blood work done. So more recently, we've been talking about those desensitized programs and kind of filling in and making worlds very similar to those, starting more so with dental, right? Dental is probably one of our bigger things here that some of our individuals don't necessarily like to go to. So that's something that we're going to start with. We are trying to figure out space-wise, you know, if we're going to use a dental office, or I know one of our site locations is also looking at creating one of the rooms to kind of mimic that dental office as well, and then use it at a Akiva software headset.
Well, I like that. You know, that you guys know that there's been some research to support that. There's something in the literature called vestibular training. I bet you guys know it's exactly what you guys are talking about, where you create something that approximates the real thing and you go there first. But what could be right? And then gradually you kind of move into the real setting. This is even better because it's almost fearless. I mean, I could even learn to skydive, I think.
Exactly.
It's got that kind of appeal.
Right.
So as you watch this unfold in there, what's it been like for the kids? Do you see the expression on their faces while they're immersed? What does it look like? Do they look delighted, confused, or all of it? You know, excited, and what does it look like on their faces?
It's honestly amazing. And, you know, myself and some other members of our team here in the CRP, we've got some amazing video of our students, and we've got some amazing pictures as well. And honestly, the picture doesn't even do it justice, you know, when you're in the moment with these students, you know, when they actually make that connection and, you know, they're tracing the letters and, you know, they're going through the modules and using, you know, the in-game tablets and, you know, high-fiving the characters. It's been pretty amazing. You know, it's been a great experience so far with the Akiva.
I bet it strikes me as like a fantastic and fun learning experience. So I've often thought, maybe you guys will agree with this, that part of the challenge of education has always been, hasn't it, making learning fun? And sometimes we really, don't we as a system, miss the boat on that. By the time the kids, you know, at a certain point, they've just lost all interest in that, and they lose that natural inquisitiveness. This seems to really go there, which I kind of love. You know, I just want to ask you too, in terms of, and we, maybe we'll. First of all, let me say this: I hope you'll come back for a follow-up show, because there's so, we really are just, you know, scratching the surface. But I wanted to ask you guys, when we're talking about desensitization a little bit, will we have the opportunity, does anybody have the opportunity to inform the development of some of this? Like we have, like, for instance, a specific population we know pretty well at this point, and the kind of steps that would be necessary to affect real comfort, say, to stay with the same example, a dental office. Do we have the opportunity to inform any of that? I'm guessing at this stage we're buying set curriculums, if we'll call it that, or, you know, set programs. But is there a way of personalizing it, or is that something down the road?
So that's something that we can absolutely start looking at later on down the road. Right now, what we're trying to do is create more general kind of worlds, right? Just to get our individuals a little more used to, honestly, just using the Akiva headset and software in general.
Yeah.
Once we finally, you know, work out a little more kinks and so on and so forth, then yes, we are absolutely looking to create some personal worlds with some of our individuals, you know, for a little more creative learning and also for desensitization programs as well.
Right. And just to help piggyback and give an idea of what that may look like, you know, shopping, you know, going to the grocery stores and picking out items off the shelf, or, you know, a world where, you know, you're in a bedroom and there's a closet and you're picking out the appropriate clothing for the appropriate weather, you know, things of that nature. So Akiva has committed to helping us develop those worlds. So, you know, it looks like in the future there will be a lot of promise for Akiva and DDI's partnership.
I have no doubt. Yeah. As I said, guys, we really are scratching the surface. So I've got to bring you right back. And that's the plan. So you're okay with that, right?
Absolutely.
Delighted. Good. All right, guys. You know, we're listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas. I'm having what I consider to be a terrific conversation with David Chell and Tracy Savoir, talking about the implications of new software and new approaches to learning virtual reality. Some exciting stuff. It could change the way kids learn, and maybe the way I learn as well. So be sure to come back next week and the conversation will continue. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.